From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
To affect our lives, and that even though we came to a wedding or were invited for the first time, our lives will never be the same again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Just for a few minutes, you have to hear something from the Word of God before you go out. And then, of course, when we finish, we have communion. Jamal and Trisha will have communion for the first time in their lives together as a married couple. And then, of course, we'll file out, take some pictures around, and then we know where they're going. But I'm sure they're going somewhere, somewhere far, where nobody will see them. And nothing else. You know how, you see how Trisha behaves? You got to get a soundproof room, isn't it? Otherwise, people, police will come and say, who abuses somebody's child? Isn't it? All right. So this morning, I just want to share with you about make yourselves saviors of men. Make yourselves saviors of men. In Obadiah, it's a book in the Bible. The name is Obadiah. Obadiah, chapter 1 and verse 21. If you're here for the first time, you're very, very welcome. This is our home. This is Shepherd House International. This is where we live. This is where we come for surgery and checkups and scanners and say CT scan and all the things that life kind of puts us through. We come here to be helped. We come here to be advised. We come here to be encouraged. We come here to be supported. We come here to receive strength for every week that we live, that God gives us here on earth. And so you're very, very welcome if you're visiting with us and you don't have a church. If you don't, even if you have a church, you like our church, you can come. What do you think about that, Pastor Gavin? What do you think? Yeah. So you can come. You know, one of our policies as a church, and our church is a very big church. Your church is not close to our church at all. Our church is a very big, big church all over the world. We have about 4,000 branches all over the world in about 90 countries. And so our church is a very, very big church. You know, we can't start talking about that. But one of the things that we know is the right thing to do is not to absorb members from another church. You know, if you belong to another church, you are a good standing member. I mean, unless there's a very, very particular reason why you want to switch, we encourage you to stay where you are. But my experience in Guyana has kind of made me open my mind a bit more. You get it? If I had lived here all these 16 years with my my mind from abroad, a lot of things wouldn't happen. Because many people are in some churches, they are being stifled. They are hungry. They are looking for something. I remember one day a gentleman was in our service, and when the service was over, he came to me and said, Pastor, I feel the vibes. He told me that he feels the vibes. And I wasn't sure what he meant, but I knew he meant something very good. Isn't it? So if you're in a church, you don't feel the vibes, please, there are vibes here you can feel. Just tell your pastor, you know what? I got. So that when he sees you in my church, he won't tell me that I stole his church member, isn't it? But you're very welcome to visit us again. And if you want to stay here, there's no register, there's no visa. The gate is open Sunday morning. Our doors are plenty doors. As you can come, you can also leave if you like. Plenty doors. You can choose any one of the doors you want to exit out of. But you're very, very welcome to worship with us. We're a church that believes in winning souls, establishing members, and then also starting churches all over. The gentleman who got married this morning, Jamal, when he joined our church many years ago, He's not who he is before. He has changed. He has changed, and I'm very, very proud of him. I'm very, very proud of Jamal. Very, very, very proud of Papi. Yeah. Very, very proud of him. I'm proud of what he's doing. Yeah. You see, you have to. Let me read a scripture and I'll start. Before I start, and then later I read the scripture. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible says, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion. Saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now, if you look at this scripture, this is Obadiah prophesying. And you see, we all have only one savior. Muhammad is not our savior. Lakshmi is not our savior. Sai Baba is not our savior. Nobody, even Barack Obama is not our savior. Those who think Oprah Winfrey and Barack Obama are your saviors. None of these people are our saviors. There's only one savior. And his name is Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus the Christ. And for many people who don't know, Jesus' last name wasn't the Christ. If Jesus was filling a form, like how the form that, you know, Brother Jamal and Sister Tricia signed, they have to write their first name, their last name. When Jesus went to school, his last name was not Christ. Are you aware of that? No. Joseph, his father's name was not Joseph Christ. Just like Jamal has his father's name, Jamal Luke. Joseph the carpenter, his last name was not known in the Bible, but we know that it wasn't Christ. Because Christ means the anointed one. And so he got the title Christ by his life and by his deeds. That's what they call him, Jesus the Christ. Now, all of us know, if you don't know, you probably will know today, that Jesus Christ is the only savior of the whole world. But Obadiah says here that, and saviors, for those of us who went to primary school, you know that when something, a word ends with S, it's plural. Sheeps. Sheeps. Goats. Trees. Yeah. Ships. You get it? So S after the Savior means that we are not talking about just one Savior. So then if we know Jesus as the Savior, then who else is a Savior? What Obadiah was actually prophesying is that even though Jesus came and he died for us and he finished the salvation package on the cross of Calvary, there must be people who will rise up to bring that good news to others so that they will become saved. Are you with me? Because a lot of people don't know about what happened with Jesus Christ. Many people don't know that. Many people don't know that for God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten son, and that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. December is a month of joy and cheer and all of that people are going. But people do not understand that all these things came about because of the Savior. The scripture says in Luke chapter 2 verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So the good news of a Savior is what makes us dress or rejoice. That, you know, even this modern day, you hear the slogan, Christ is the word. Jesus is a reason for what? The season. It's like we have to echo that sentiment, that statement, because people have gone away from what Christmas is really all about. And saying this, I am not saying that Jesus was born in December. Because I also personally, the scriptures does not say when Jesus was born in terms of month and date and all of that. Because the Jewish calendar is very different from the Christian calendar. So it's not like we don't have brains And therefore, when we say Jesus was born in December or Christmas Day, it's like we have not read the Bible or we don't understand what the Bible. No. It's somehow you have to choose a date to celebrate Jesus. Jesus, what is the fact is that Jesus was born into this world. Whether it was 1st January, 1st August, 2nd July, or whatever, he came down here. John says in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word became flesh. And he dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. John 1:14. We saw his glory as the glory of the only begotten Son. And so Jesus came. Well, he came, the Savior of men, came one day. So if it's 25th December, fine. But I'm saying that theologically, it's not the 25th of December, and we know that. It's just like when I say, okay, man, I'm proud of Jamal, then for you to tell me, you don't know what Jamal has done. It's not about what he has done. It's not what Jamal has done or Trisha has done. You have to be proud. I say, well, why do you want to put people down by one or two negative things in their life? So when I say I'm proud of Jamal, I can tell you all the not so nice things Jamal has done to me in my life. Marlon. Brother Marlon. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not about that. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's about the total picture. You see, so sometimes people, even as men of God, as pastors and all that, people don't even know us and they say things about us. Sometimes somebody just gets a bad experience from, let's say, comes to church and doesn't like the way you spoke. That's it. You are murdered. You are dead for the rest of your life. But you see, you don't know the guy. You need a total picture. I'm relating with a lady now, you know, a reverend minister, who, for the first time, she came to a meeting that I was preaching. In fact, I didn't know. She got up and she left because I said something about women that she didn't like. And as for women, I talk about women all the time. Women is problems. Yeah, Poppy has taken one of the problems. He's taking one of the problems. As for that, you can't run away from it. That doesn't mean that women is problems, so you don't need a woman in your life. No. You see, you don't. When I'm talking, you have to understand what I'm saying, you know. You have to understand the total picture. How many understand the total picture? So this lady, a woman of God, left my meeting because I said something about a woman. Years later, she met somebody somewhere. And through their conversation, the person said, oh. No, then she confessed to the lady, the person she met, that this, that. So the person said, oh, no. You don't know him. You don't know him at all. I mean, that one statement shouldn't make you disqualify the man from. I think you should get to know him. And by the grace of God, we met a few months ago. And she's so in love and she's so happy and excited and she appreciates me and all of that. And I ask myself, you see, you don't have to see. Sometimes you are so quick to judge people. Because sometimes you have to understand where people are coming from. That's what I'm saying. I'm proud of Papi. Because the average young man, will not do this thing that Papi did. If I had left this with Papi, Papi would do this thing in the night that you won't come. So that he little budget, he could feed just 10 people and he gone. Yeah. A few. It's decent young men who take a young lady to the altar and say, I want to marry her. It's only decent young men who do that. And so, my message to you today is that as December has begun and we're going to be focused on working extra, if you work at court, you work extra, we won't see you. You are calling us that they've reduced beds and they reduce things. We should buy a new bed for Christmas. you know, nothing until 10 years from now. You know, all those things. One thing should be very, very clear. Many people do not know about the Savior. Many people don't know about the Savior. You see, Guyanese have a mindset about church. And so when you invite a Guyanese to a church, they said no. Because their experience of church is one. When the pastor preaches, you will sleep. The place is boring. All kinds of negative things they have and pictures they have about the church. And so when you invite a Guyanese to church, the first answer, respond without even thinking deep, is that a good day. I'll go and see. I am promising you. Next week. And next week never comes. Did you get it? But many people do not actually understand and have not heard that there's a Savior called Jesus Christ. And He came and He lived and He died for our sins. And if you believe in Him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. Many people don't understand the salvation message as it is. And so Obadiah is prophesying that in these last days, people will have to rise up as people through whom people come to know Jesus Christ. As people through whom people will come and be in a church. As people who through whom people will come and love God. We have to make ourselves as saviors of men. We can never talk about our mission without bringing my example into it. I had to come here with nothing. And I said it in Lethem. I was preaching in Lethem, and I said, you know what? Just in case any of you pastors, I had a pastor's meeting in Lethem. Just in case any of you want to criticize me, I came to Lethem with 10 people. It is 30,000 to go to Lethem and return per person, excluding meals and accommodation. I took 10 people with me, which is what? 300,000. Their food outside, accommodation outside. And so I told the pastors, if you want to criticize me, take 10 people from here, let them take them somewhere. And I said, the pastor's conference I'm having, you didn't invite me. I make a poster for myself. I am the one who organized people to bring pastors together. Nobody asked me to do it. I said, until you can do something like that, don't criticize me. You are here and I've come all the way from Georgetown, 20 hours in the bus. And I've come here to criticize me. You don't know what you're doing. And so we came in here, just myself, wife, and two girls. And look at pastors. Marlon here went to where I came from. I come from Ghana, West Africa. He went there to Bible school. We don't want to talk about why he you remember? Yeah, went to Ghana, Bible school, even including the cousin who's sitting behind him. We have come and have given Guyanese boys and girls an opportunity to turn their lives around. We have become saviors of men. Yes. And it's out of that even Jamal himself is now in Suriname and he's preaching. The people are asking him, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? When are you coming back? The people want him to come. They miss him. Young man. Preaching and trying to teach people about the love of God, about the Savior Jesus Christ. December is a special month that we should actually all turn ourselves. If ever, this is the season for us to turn ourselves into saviors of men. We have to tell people about the Savior. Say, hey. Tell you this, your house, your living room that you are breaking down, this your chairs that you are breaking down, have you heard of the Savior? Have you heard of him? And you say, people will not hear if we will not go. If you'll be honest, there are a lot of ignorance in our system. Once you talk about God, people have all kinds of things to say. Because people are not educated by us properly as to who Jesus is and why he came to die for us. And so, ladies and gentlemen, December, I'm launching this message. Make yourself serious of men. Stop thinking about the food, the pot, and the blinds. Nobody's blind. Is anybody blind here? The blinds and curtains and all the things that people, the merriness, the excitement, the joy, the food, the family coming down from America to spend Christmas. The reason for all of that is that somebody called God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, and that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now let me tell you, it is out of that. That's why we are seeing what we are seeing today. If you don't know anything, it's about church. It's about salvation. It's about give your life to Christ. That's how come Papi is here. The lady Pastor Karen, that is Papi's spiritual mother, sitting right there. And I am Papi's spiritual grandfather. Because that's my daughter. Marlo's grandfather. Lady Pastor Karen invited Jamal to church. Yeah. And I hope that mommy and daddy are watching you, because I'm very proud of you. I hope mommy is proud of you as well. Because you're not like Junior. You're not like Junior or Paul. Jamal is Jamal in his own right. Yes. Yeah. You know who is me? You know who is he? Yeah. In his own life. It is this same business of turning ourselves into saviors of men that brings young men here. And we are not saying they won't make mistakes. They'll make mistakes. I will not give up on them. Unless they want us to give up on them. Because some of them want us to give up on them. So we give up on them. But those who don't want us to give up on them, we will not give up on them. We'll support them through thick and thin. Yeah. One day, one of my pastors married a young lady in the church. And then after a while, the young lady told the pastor that, they wanted to come and see me for their problems. And the young lady told the guy that, she doesn't want to come because she knows Bishop. He knows me. I always support the male pastor. I always support my pastors. Who else do you want me to support? Trisha, I'm telling you that I will support Jamal. I will support him. Who else should I support? You should support. I can't support both of you. I have to support one. And I choose Jamal. Yeah, you should know. So don't be in a hurry to come and run to me and come and complain about Jamal. Yeah. No, you better do your homework well before you come and complain. Yeah? Because if you're sexing good, you don't expect him to be happy with you. He won't give you money. Your hair will be like that. You have to use this iron comb they put in a coal pot, and that's how you have to do your hair. Picky, picky here. Yeah. And then you come and say, Bishop, Jamal doesn't give me money. You have to tell me why Jamal doesn't give you money. The reason number one. Then if you're honest enough, then I say, okay, don't worry. I don't talk to you. If you come and start accusing the other person, you are not being honest with yourself. And we don't support things like that. Is it because these people are pastors? They have support for we have because the other ones I should support. Who else should I support? Because salvation and taking up the ministry is high above anybody's accusations. You see, as women who marry pastors, they can sometimes be funny, Trisha. Yeah. You'll be smiling on a wedding day and all of that, and then you won't help the pastor. So when the church is not working well, you think that it's Papi, but it's Trisha. God forbid. Yeah. But many ministers have married bad women who actually lead them to lose their ministries. Yeah. Because if you understand ministry, you will support a pastor even if he's wrong. I'm telling you. Because when God chooses somebody, who are you to come and fight? If God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, God forbid. If something should happen to this union, I mean, I want to know why. But I'll stand by the one who has chosen to preach Jesus Christ. I'll stand by the one who has chosen to preach Jesus Christ. The loyalty in that direction is stronger and the one who is not preaching Jesus Christ. If Trisha preaches Jesus Christ, then I'll be confused because I wouldn't know who to support. And I say, you know, yeah, I'll stop them nonsense there, and then, you know, be it, you know. Because it has cost God his only begotten son. Many people are not interested in ensuring that others believe. I mean, many people don't believe. You see, even after this, some people have left the church because the wedding is over. It's true. That's Guyanese. You don't come, but the wedding is not over. The charge, the blessing, the introduction is coming after the preaching. I see that there's a certain lack of respect for God and the church so that people just do anything. And so once a young man takes up the burden to be a savior, when a young lady takes up the burden to be a savior, don't tell me that I shouldn't support him. Who will you support? The person who's fighting with you or the person who's not fighting with you? And there's something that we do in Guyana. I'm not sure whether it's a good practice. I will do otherwise. I've come across several pastors who are not pastors anymore because they divorced. Some have passed through our church before. Somebody came in our church. He's a drummer and all of that. He was playing. We realized he was some pastor from another church who was divorced, and then the church just don't want him again. Do you remember the guy? Yeah. I was sad because you support those who have chosen to be saviors. Oh. Yeah. I mean, I'll stay with my pastors any day. Yeah. You can actually go to Kaichulus and tell them it's okay. I will stay with my pastors, whether male or female, I will stay with them through thick and thin. Because the person God has chosen, there must be a reason why God chose that person. There must be a reason why God chose that person. Yes. That I will not come and say, if God has chosen Jamal and Jamal has done something that I don't like or is not right, you still have to keep your mind on the choice that God has made. Because many people who were chosen by God in the Bible did things that God wasn't happy about. He never discarded them, apart from one or two people. Yes. You think Moses is going to hell? No, he appeared when Jesus was transfigured. Even though he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. You think Solomon is going to hell? These people won't go to hell, even though they did not do some of the things that God didn't like. God will stand by his people any day. And that must be our loyalty. You get it? We must be together. We must use this opportunity to really reach out to people and turn them to Jesus Christ. What do you think about that? We must make ourselves saviors of men. Probably your wife, you can sit down. God bless you. Amen. And so, I'm launching that business this season. Make yourself saviors of men. If you look at it, one of the things that Jesus said, I mean, in fact, the last word of Jesus Christ was that, go into the world and preach the gospel. Have you realized that if somebody close to you is dying or dies, and they give you their last wish, everybody's afraid not to do the last wish? Have you realized that? If I'm dying, I say, because you know my last wish, isn't it? You know, what was my last wish? I'm back here. If you take me anywhere, you will not have peace in your life. I'm telling you. Even if mommy comes and says, you know what? Yeah, I'll sit down. It's me, man. Yeah, I'll sit down. I want Calvin to stand up and say, mommy, we ain't sitting down nowhere. We have been in services so often where you man say at the back. So mommy, I love you, but nah. We're gonna fight over this body here, so yeah. Taking it. I've said it that when I die in Guyana here, please not La Repente. If you put me in La Repente, I will come into your dreams, I'm telling you. I will torment you all the days of your life. Right at the back here. Right at the back here. And put me to rest. That's my wish. Now, I am sure that, as I've said it and all of that, nobody will want to disobey what I'm saying. Because we are even a bit superstitious about things. If your grandmother is dying, your grandmother says something. If your father is dying and he says something. In my culture in Africa, sometimes some people fight whilst they are alive that they make statements that when I die, you should never come to my funeral. As if when they come, you see them. It's very fantastic. But it is something that many people stand by. They say, you know what? When I die, you should not. Sometimes some parents tell their children because they break their hearts, they disappoint them and all of that. That they say, when I die, don't come to my funeral. And it is so interesting that when the parents die, the siblings do not allow that particular child to come. Because, Charlie, you don't know what is going to happen, you know. You know why they don't bury people with shoes? You go and bury somebody with shoes and see what will happen. Because it has happened several times that people say, when in the night when we went home, in the night somebody was opening doors and doing bah, 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 bah. So the old people realized that no. It's uncle who died, his shoes, he has come to work. So if you don't give him shoes, he'll not have any shoes to come and disturb in the house. That's why dead people, they don't put shoes on them. Do you put shoes on dead people here? Because they'll come back and walk in the house. When you're sleeping at night, somebody opening door and closing door and doing bah, 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 bah. When you open the door, there's nobody there. You're going back to sleep. Bah, bah, bah. You don't want to. Maybe I want to go with shoes. What do you think? What would the shoes do? When I'm going, please put on my shoes for me. Find one of my nice shoes and put it on. So when you dress me, you don't cover me from here to... Like one of our senior pastors have said, he said, when he dies, the coffin should not be opened. He doesn't want anybody to see his face when he's dead. That's his wish. You think that we'll bring his body to the church and see, open up. Some people, Guyanese, some people even come to the church and say, me see, I could see. Yeah, that's because I have buried the dead before. We went to the burying ground. We were trying to push the coffin in the tomb. Some girl come from somewhere, said that the person that is she cousin. Yeah, I ain't see me cousin. I mean, the person forced her. Me, I didn't want them to open the coffin, but the person forced her for them to open it for her to see. These are demonical. These are witches and witchcraft and things like that. What do you get? And people take video. Your phone takes anything, including dead people. If somebody is dead, why do you want to take a picture of a dead person? And people like dead people on your phone. You see, one day your phone will spoil. It's because of the dead person on your phone. Hallelujah. And so, ladies and gentlemen, those of us who have come to know Jesus, this is our time. This is our season. That will rise up and become saviors of men. Jesus' last words was going into the world and preach the gospel. It will come back to haunt you and I if we don't obey his last wish. Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Close your eyes with me. If you're here this afternoon and you are not saved, you're not born again. If you die right now, you're not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. This is your time. This is your moment. You're probably here for the first time. Somebody invited you to church. Or you came because of Trisha or Jamal. But you know deep down in your heart that you don't have Jesus. You know in your heart that if you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or you go to hell. My brother, my sister, there's heaven and there is hell. If you choose heaven this afternoon, God will give you access. All you have to do is to just lift up your right hand and say, Bishop, please pray for me. I want to give my heart to God. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want Jesus. I want eternal life. The reason for December being such a joyful month, I want to have that reason inside of my life and in my heart. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You want to say, Bishop, please pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to pray with you as well. And while every eye is closed, you want to lift up your right hand and say, Bishop, it's me. Please pray with me. God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you. Bishop, pray for me. I want to give my heart to God. God bless you. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, can I please ask you to come forward? Richard, come. My dear sister, come to the front. Clap for them as they come. God bless you. Come for them. Come for them. God bless you. God bless you. Give your heart to Jesus. Oh, clap for the lady. She's coming. If you want to make up your mind, please do it now. If you die right now, you're not sure what happened to you. Come to the front. Let me pray with you. Come to the Father. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's a good decision you're making. God bless you, Mr. Thomas.
Broken heart.
Them broken life. He will take
them home.
You want to join them? Come quickly.
The power of his love. And everything was done. So you will go.
Wow. God bless you. I need you to close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. From today, I believe that I am born again. My life has changed. I am a child of God. My name is in the book of life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for these wonderful people who have come forward. A soul to you is a soul and is precious to you. I commit everyone here at the altar into your hands. I pray that your mighty hand will rest upon their lives. Let this confession begin a new life with you. Let December be a month they will never forget. A month that Jesus came into their lives and their lives were never the same. Lead them into green pastures and cause them to lie down and drink from still waters. Thank you. Your protection is their portion from this day onwards. I give you praise and I give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.